I'm going to share about a topic I love to talk about that's super important. I'm going to talk this morning. My goal is to build your faith for miraculous provision. How many of you know that God is your provider? Yeah. And you know, here's the deal. In the Western world, a lot of believers, they may know that as a doctrine, but they don't know that by experience, even though everything they have is from the Lord. A lot of times we don't stop and make the connection when we get our paycheck, because we always just get our paycheck from our job or whatever it is. We don't make the connection like, Lord, you just provided for me. Thank you. And he's done it through this avenue. But the Lord has many, many avenues. And what ends up happening is when we don't consciously connect that everything we have is from the Lord. And thank you, God. I think it's important when we get a paycheck to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You provided again. And every little thing, he has a million and one plus ways that he can provide for us. But what happens is sometimes when the most common avenue that we're used to receiving his provision, something happens and it gets blocked up. A lot of times what happens is we go into fear mode and we start panicking. And a lot of times we make dumb decisions in that mode, because we're making them out of panic and not out of faith. Any decision you make out of fear will probably be a bad decision. You always want to make your decisions out of faith. And so we're like, ah, no, I lost my job. I got laid off, whatever it is. Now what? No, here's the deal. The source of your provision is still intact. The Lord is your provider. That avenue may be gone, but he's got a billion avenues to get that to you. It's no problem. And so we trust in the Lord. And so I want to talk about that today. And I want to just look at miraculous provision in the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you can read this with me. It's on your sheet. It says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab. Now Ahab was a very evil man. He was big time idolatrous. I mean, evil, corrupt, as bad as you can imagine. And he was the king over Israel. And so God sends the prophet Elijah to him, and here's the word of the Lord. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. That's a serious prophetic word right there. Now, what's happening here is God is releasing divine discipline, or you could say judgment, over the nation of Israel because they are steeped in idolatry and they have forsaken God. And instead of seeking the Lord, they're child sacrifices. I mean, they're offering their sons and daughters on demonic altars, their sons and daughters, to as sacrifices to these foreign gods. And they're just filled with corruption and immorality and all kinds of horrible things. And God had warned them and warned them and warned them. And so God's like, you know what? They're not listening when I give them timeouts. It's time to break out the spanking spoon. And so he says, a spanking spoon for a nation. In this case, it's drought. He says, God says to Elijah, you go tell that king, it will not rain. That means no food. That means no water. That means people die. And it's more than just people dying. When people get starving and they become desperate and panic sets in among an entire nation, they start stealing, they start doing awful things, start happening. The worst of people comes out when they're in terror. Okay? And God's like, I'm giving drought here, and it's divine judgment. And it's to turn you from your sin. I'm going to wake you up and turn you from your sin. So then Elijah said, it won't rain until I accept it my word. That's a lot of authority. Now here's a point I want to make. I just want to set this message in context. The entire earth is coming into a season of divine judgment very soon. And I'm not going to go into a lot on this, but just need to know that as we approach the coming of the Lord, Jesus is coming. How many of you know he's coming? And when he comes, he's going to restore all nations. He's going to heal. He's going to restore all things. Blessing is going to fill the earth, but he's also going to punish those who have set their heart against him in living in rebellion. Okay? Demons and people, right? But he's going to reward those who have trusted in him and live for him. But in the years, especially the final 7 years leading up to the point where he comes back, there is going to, the whole earth, the Bible says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Okay? And he actually gives detailed descriptions in the Bible, but the economy is going to be shaken. There, Israel experienced famine. There's going to be famine on a whole nother level that's going to break out. And you can read about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. It talks about famine. But the imagine Israel a few years into this famine. And people are evil. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping demons. We see this happening in the culture. But I want you to notice that in this passage we're going to read, that even in a season of divine judgment, those who are serving the Lord, God provides for. Because the judgment is not against the righteous. It's against the wicked. Okay? And those who are serving the Lord and hearing his voice and obeying what he says to do and look to him as their provider, God provides for them. He really, really does. And so that's what he's going to do for us. There's going to be miraculous provision all the way through the coming of the Lord. I don't fear the droughts. I don't fear the famines. I don't fear that stuff because I know the Lord is my provider. I have 23-ish, 17, I got saved, I'm 40, about 23 years of serving the Lord and consciously knowing him as my provider. I've encountered miraculous provision. It's a way of life, to be honest. And I know he's going to be faithful. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And God says, leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. That's interesting instructions. The most important thing in a time of shaking, the most important thing is not to store up guns, ammunition, and food in your cellar. Although I don't think that's bad. But that if that is what you're looking to, if you're looking to the stuff inside your cellar as your source, that's going to be shaken. It takes one earthquake and all your jars fall to the ground and there goes all your years of saving. But how many of you know the Lord is our provider and he's never shaken? Yeah, and so, you know, I store up stuff, but I am so not trusting in that. I'm trusting in the Lord. You know, something can happen to my stuff. The Lord will protect it. I mean, somebody could steal it. Whatever happens, the Lord is the one who will provide for me and my household. But here's the most important thing in a time of shaking is to hear the voice of the Lord and then obey. And it's interesting, Elijah's here and he hears the word of the Lord. God's like, I have an avenue to provide for you. I imagine Elijah like, all right, bring it on. What's the plan? How are you going to feed me in a time of drought? God's like, I want you to go to a certain place. Elijah's like, okay, let's do this. And he goes there. What's the plan? God's like, this brook here hasn't dried up yet, so you can drink water from the brook. He's like, awesome, thanks, Lord. You know where all the good stuff is, and you could direct me to the brook that's still flowing, even in a time of drought. This is good. What about food? And the Lord's like, well, I got a plan for that. I've ordered birds. And every morning and every night, they're going to bring you a meal. How many of you would have thought that one up yourself? I just want you to break the box. God is so outside of our box in ways that he provides. I mean, God is in control of birds. And God's like, I have ordered the ravens. God is beautiful. The Lord of all creation. He's like, I've ordered the ravens to deliver you. It's like God's takeout. He's going to deliver you bread and meat every single morning and every single night. And look what happened. Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So this goes on for a season, and he's like, okay, this is cool. You know, I like this. You know, I imagine being like, wow, okay, if you say so. Yeah, I know you're not going to lie. This would be interesting. I've never had a raven bring me a meal before, but it happens over and over again. He's like, this is good. I like this. You know, he's out there enjoying fellowship with the Lord. But sometime later, the brook dried up. And you know why? It's because how many of you know when famine, everything doesn't go bad just like that? You know, the rivers are flowing, but then it doesn't rain and they shrink until there's nothing left. Well, after some time goes by, the drought the effects of the drought are really starting to kick in. And even the brook that God sent him to drink from dries up. And it says, it dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Fresh instructions. He says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. This is the most unusual avenues for God to provide through. So he's like, okay, I got this. He hears the word of the Lord. But then that avenue dries up. A lot of people would panic at this point. But Elijah's the one who hears the word of the Lord. So he's like, okay, God, I know you haven't changed. You're my source. What, if you're not providing, you must not be providing through this anymore. What's the fresh way? And the Lord gives him the word of the Lord. Okay, now leave this place. The season here is done. I got a new way. I'm going to send you over here, and I've got a widow. A widow that I'm going to provide you through. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, I lost my spot. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. And then she stops, and she's honest. She says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. In fact, I'm gathering a few sticks right now to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it, and then we're going to die. Like, this is the woman of faith that God's going to provide through. She's like, you caught me just in time. This is my last meal. I mean, right now, I don't have any bread. I'm going home. We're making our last meal, and then we're going to starve because that's what's happening to everybody else. And this is the woman. Now, I imagine, you know, being in a situation like that, you know, Elijah could be, doesn't say this, but it could be like, wait a minute, God, you told me you were very specific about this word. You said you were going to provide through a widow, through this widow. But she has nothing. How can you provide through somebody who has nothing? Now, I don't think he even wrestled with this question, to be honest. But a lot of times we do. That's why I'm bringing it out. And I love what Elijah said to her. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. That's a good word. Don't be afraid. God's got this thing. Look to the Lord. Then he says, go home and do as you have said. I love this. But first, everybody say first. Okay, first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. Now, a lot of people, they'd get totally offended at this. I mean, here's a poor widow, doesn't have her husband anymore, and her son, we don't even know how old he is. They're about to die. They're starving. They're super poor. It's like the minister goes to the poor person and says, before you eat your last meal, give me something. A lot of people would look at that. They'd get offended. They'd be like, this is one of those selfish ministers. He's in it for himself. Charlatan. Doesn't even care about the people he serves. He just uses them for their resources. But that's not what's happening here at all. He says, first, before you take care of your own needs, give. Now, I'm going to tell you what's happening here. This woman's in fear and she's in unbelief. How many of you can see that? I mean, when her confession is, this is my last meal and then we're going to die, there's not a lot of faith there. And what Elijah's doing is he's about to deliver her from her unbelief. And how he does it is by commanding her, God through him is commanding her to give first to meet the need of somebody else before they meet their own needs. And here's why. Fear of lack, and the opposite of that would be greed, covetousness. Actually, a lot of times those go together. The fear of lack dominates the human race right now, even believers, a lot of them. We make decisions because of the fear of lack rather than faith in what the Lord says, in obedience. And when we're called to live in generosity, we live in stinginess. And the reason why is because it's either greed or covetousness, or it's hoarding out of the fear of lack. And God wants to set us free from those two sins, from the fear of lack and from covetousness, or greed, you could say. And the way he sets us free is he commands us to move in generosity. Generosity, here's what it does. Generous giving, when you give first to somebody else before you meet your own needs, it forces us to confront our unbelief, to confront our covetousness, instead of disguising it and making up excuses for it and learning to live and work with it and disguise it and not make it look for what it really is, greed and covetousness and the fear of lack. We don't want to say we're in unbelief, and so we try to mask it as wisdom. I'm just being wise. I'm just being all this kind of stuff. And the Lord's like, I want you to be honest, and I want you to give to others first. Now, what does that do? Do you know that in the kingdom of God, we have a standing command from God to the first 10%? It's called the tithe. It belongs to who? The Lord commands his people. He's like, you give the first 10% to me. He calls it the tithe. Tithe just means literally a tenth part. And some people are like, well, I'm going to tithe 5%. You can't. The word means a tenth part. You know, you can't, it's not a 20th part. It's a tenth part. And so to tithe, to obey the tithe is 10%, right? This is math 101 today. And the Lord, he commands us. Why does he do that? He doesn't need our money, right? I mean, God, how many of you know there is no lack in heaven? And there's no actually lack on earth. There's resource all over us. God can create it out of nothing. I'm going to read you some ways of miraculous provision. I'm going to give you an overview in the Bible. There is no lack on God's part. He doesn't need our money. We need to acknowledge him. He's not owner of 10%. He's owner of 100% of what we have. And what we do is when we acknowledge that he is the provider and the owner of 100%, when we give him that first 10%, and then after that, we give offerings above and beyond that according to our will, according to specific things God tells us to do. Is this making any sense? Now, here's what happens. I have done this. I'm so thankful for this. I had a pastor who taught me how to do this and gave me faith for this from the very beginning of my walk with the Lord. What happens is the Lord says, you be faithful and live a generous life. You be faithful in the tithes and offerings. And he says, I'll provide for you. I'll pour open the floodgates of heaven, Malachi chapter 3. And I'll pour out so much blessing, you don't even have room enough for it. The truth is, I'm just going to testify a little bit. Does that sound good? Because I actually have experience. God's proven himself in this over and over again. I just want to build your faith. The truth is that pretty much our entire marriage, we live way above and beyond what our income is in terms of our paycheck. But we don't have debt. How is that possible? It's because miraculous provision comes in. God just provides for everything he says to do. Last year, we went on a trip to Europe, and it was like, what, $11,000? $11,000. It takes money to go through all those places. Because we felt like God said, go and do this. I want you to go and build up the church there and go and on this trip for me. So we're like, we said yes, but we're like, how is that money going to come in? Don't know. But you know what? We went to Europe, $11,000 extra. That's not in the budget. And do you know what? We went on the trip and we came back on the trip, no debt. God provided. Tons of different ways. This year, it's going to be the same way. We still need a few thousand dollars, but we're going to get it. I know it's going to happen. He always does it. He always provides. We're just going to go. He's provided money for the next step. So we do the next step, and then the money comes for the next step. Sometimes I prefer this. He gives us money for several steps at a time. You know, I like that. We like that. But you know what? Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't always give us our monthly bread. Oftentimes, it's our daily bread, and he wants us, it's a walk of faith. Why don't you just give it to us all at once so we don't have to worry? He's like, because I want you to learn to trust me. That's why. You know, to God, he loves us. We're sons and daughters, you know. He's like, I'm trying to liberate you from the fear of lack. I'm trying to prove myself to you, because oftentimes he'll say it, it's not enough for us. We have to experience it. And so he sets us up to encounter him as our provider over and over again, to confront our anxiety, to confront our fear, to confront our worry. And what happens, you know, oftentimes when I talk to people about tithing, they're like, man, I'm not even making it on 100% of my income. How could I make it on 90%? I can't afford to tithe. I've heard that so many times. And I like to tell them, that's not true. You can't afford to not tithe. You can live on 100% of your income, and the reason it's not working for you is because it's not blessed. But you be faithful to the Lord, you live on 90% that's blessed by the Lord, and it'll go way farther than 100% that's without the blessing. And what happens, though, is the first time they give that tithe check, it's like writing the check, should I do it? And the devil speaks, you know, they're writing out the check for 10%. Whispers, maybe I should just make it for like round down to like 8%. Maybe I should just do 5%. I'm just going to ramp up my faith and build myself into this thing, you know? And it's like, no. Partial obedience isn't obedience. And you're like, oh, that's true. So, okay, I write the check. And then leading up to the day when you're going to give it, it's like, oh, I could still rip this thing up. I could still give just part of it. I'll start next month. Maybe I'll start saving and I'll build my way up and I'll work my way into obedience. And all these excuses come from the enemy to keep us trapped in our fear of lack, in our unbelief, in our covetousness. And the Lord's like, give. And then we give. We're like, oh, God, I trust you by faith. I'm probably eating my last meal and die with my son, but God, I'm giving it to you. And the Lord's like, that's good. You know, it wasn't very strong. It was weak faith, but weak faith works. It only takes a mustard seed. If you have enough faith to obey, you have enough faith to be blessed. That's just it. I mean, you may be fear and trembling on the inside. Just do it. God's like, that's good. You did it. Awesome. But then it's like, man, I didn't get the check in the mail this week. I thought the provision was going to come in. This brook's getting lower and lower and lower. What's going on? And the time comes to get the check out the next time. God, Lord, I didn't have any miracle happen that I could see from the last check. Lord's like, are you going to obey? And moving, and we do it, and we do it. But then you know what? Breakthrough starts coming. And when we need it, we'll have it. There's a promise of God. He says that he will give us enough so that we can be generous, more than we need. So that we can be generous on every occasion. That's 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 9. And what God's doing right to this widow right now, she's in unbelief, she's in fear, she's in anxiety and turmoil on the inside. The Lord's like, I'm about to give you peace. You know how peace comes? It doesn't just come in a vacuum. When you got circumstances and the fear of lack, there's real drought, people dying all around her. Peace doesn't just like you wake up with peace one day. It's peace is a manifest, comes as a result of faith. And faith, you can't just tie your faith to anything. You have to tie your faith to God. And she's like, when you give, you say, okay, I acknowledge the Lord is my provider. The Lord's my source. I'm going to put you first, God. I'm going to obey the word of the Lord. And every command is an invitation into a new measure of freedom. Every command is an invitation. God is giving you the stepping stone into a measure of freedom in your life. And she obeys. And look what happens. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. This is the promise. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. Boom. That's a good lady right there, isn't it? She obeyed. Good job. And so what was the result? There was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Let me tell you what the word of the Lord to you is. Malachi chapter 3. You be faithful. You can read it for yourself. Just read the whole chapter. You'll find the passage I'm talking about. You be faithful in giving God the tithe, that's that first 10%, and the offerings. Offerings is everything you give above and beyond that initial 10%. Okay? You be faithful in doing that. And the Lord says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. I will pour blessing on you. I will pour blessing on you. Now, he's giving that promise to a nation. When he says, so that your storehouses will not have room. I mean, that's literal. When Israel would obey the Lord in these things, they would be prosperous as a nation. But how many of you know a nation is made up of families? A nation is made up of people. And when people obey God, when families obey God, families and households will be blessed. Okay? That's the word of the Lord. I think of, I'm going to just give you some example of more miraculous provision in Scripture. I just want you to see the creativity of God. And it's important because I'm telling you, we're coming into a season when the normal avenues that we're accustomed to are probably going to dry up. But the Lord is faithful. Wall Street can go down. It can crash all the way to zero. You know, it won't shake us. If we have our faith anchored in the promises of God, that he is our provider. Wall Street's not my source. The U.S. government is not my source. Oh no, what happens when the U.S. government can't pay my bills anymore? Or here's the deal for us. You know, we have insurance. Our son has diabetes. That's like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of medical equipment. We need it every single month. And he has, Meta something, whatever it's called, insurance. Honestly, the government pays for everything. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. What happens, though, when the government says, we just can't afford to do this anymore, which honestly, it's coming, it's at that point, and they're like, we can't just foot everybody's medical bills anymore. There's going to be a whole lot of people freaking out. But I don't see the government as my source. The Lord is my source. The Lord's my healer. The Lord's my provider. You guys with me? So here's some more avenues of miraculous provision in Scripture. God brought enough water from a rock to satisfy an entire nation of people. I mean, we're talking millions. Millions of people, along with their livestock. How many of you know camels can drink some serious gallons of water, right? Along with their livestock for 40 years in a desert. He provided water for them. How did he provide it? God speaks to Moses. Oh, Moses is like, what's your plan? There is no water anywhere around here. And the people are like, there's no water. There's millions of us. We're in a desert. It's hot. We're dead. We don't get water. We're going down. You know, this is what they're thinking. God's like, go strike the rock. Just take your staff, hit that thing. And he's like, okay. He hits the rock. Water comes. I mean, this isn't like a nice little drinking fountain where one by one through a couple million people. That would take forever. People would die in line. You know, this is a gushing torrent coming out of this rock to satisfy an entire nation and their livestock. God fed this same nation in a desert by causing physical bread to appear out of thin air every single day for 40 years. I mean, we worry like, oh God, you know, can he feed my whole household? God's like, I fed a nation. I fed millions every single day with bread and with meat for 40 years in a desert. I mean, God's like, trust me, I got this thing. The fact that part of our covenant relationship with God, he is our provider, that is good news. I mean, there's nobody better at this. There's nobody better at this. His economy is never shaken. He never lacks anything. Man, we just look to him, we're safe. God miraculously sustained this nation, this is Israel, with divine health for 40 years in the desert and caused their shoes and clothes not to wear out. So they have no medical supplies. So I'm not worried. Something happens with Malachi with diabetes. I'm like, you know what, Lord? You did it for Israel. You gave him divine health for 40 years. You do it for him. You just, you know, we're waiting for that healing anyway. I just assume it kick in. He gives them divine health in a desert for 40 years. Listen to this. And he caused their shoes and clothes not to wear out. Listen, imagine what you're wearing right now. that you wear it every single day, and 40 years from now we're gathered for church and your grandchildren are here. Some of us, our great-grandchildren are here. And we're wearing the same outfit. But yet the tread is just as good as it was 40 years ago. You know what that is? That's a miracle. Especially when you're walking in a desert. How many of you know that's not foot friendly? And the clothes don't wear out for 40 years. Now, sometimes we don't think of that as miraculous provision, but it is. When God multiplies or blesses what you have and causes it to last forever. You know, some of us, here's the deal. Some of us, this is my wife and I, I'll just say it like this. We don't buy new cars. I mean, I'd love it. I'd take one. The Lord gives us cars. That's what happens, honestly. The Lord's given us, in the years we've been married, the Lord has given us, I think, 7 cars for free. We've given away 4. He's given us 7. But, you know, we're content with the cars we have. I don't need the latest and greatest. You know, we're content with what we have. And a lot of people, they're like, man, I got to go. And they go into debt and they make bad financial choices because they want the latest and they want the best. And a lot of times, I'm not judging you if you do that. But I mean, if you get new cars, because God can give me a new car and I'd drive it unashamedly, I'd be happy. But what I'm saying, I'm talking about motive. You guys understand what I'm talking about? And if our motive is, you know, we just got to have the best, we got to have the latest. A lot of times it's just greed and covetousness. It's materialism. But would you be content with the same outfit for 40 years? I would. Because all of you wearing the same outfit too. I mean, you know. I joke around with my kids. I'm like, well, I don't have to follow the style. I set the style. That's true a lot of times. The person who's confident is the one everybody wants to follow. So that's why, you know, the guy could come in and he's like, anyway, whatever, I'm going to stop. That's a tangent. Back on track. But contentment's a big deal. But an angel baked a cake. This is one for Elijah another time. An angel baked, an angel baked a cake and hot water meal for Elijah that strengthened him for 40 days and nights to hike to a mountain. So, have you ever fasted? Who's fasted before? Okay, I mean, you fast like 3 days. I'm not feeling the energy to hike the mountain at all. I'm feeling like, give me the food. Let me sit on the couch and watch something. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm tired. I don't have energy. No fun, let alone like a 40-day without eating thing. But imagine this. You know, he's by the fire, and he wakes up, and there's an angel there. He sees the angel. And it's just him and the angel. And the angel's cooking a meal for him. Bread. Angel food bread. Angel cake. But it actually literally happened and feeds it to him. He eats it, and it has such nutrients, nutritional value, it sustains him for 40 days on a massive hike to the top of a mountain. That's miraculous provision. How about this? Jesus multiplied food to feed a multitude of people twice, and there were leftovers. More leftovers than he started with to begin with. Okay, when Jesus, listen, I like this one. When Jesus needed money to pay taxes, God, how are you going to provide for me? He says, Peter, go fishing. Throw a line in the river. First fish you catch, pull it out. Look in its mouth. There's going to be 2 coins. One to pay your taxes and the other to pay mine. And it happened. Now, how many ever thought of that as an avenue for God to provide? I mean, we see God providing through angels, ravens, poor widows who have nothing, and putting money in the mouths of fish. When they ran out of wine at a wedding feast, Jesus takes water and turns it into wine. It's another miracle of provision. You guys following me? I could go on and on and on. My point is, God is the provider. He can get the stuff to you, no problem. So if the normal source is blocked, don't panic.
The Lord is still your provider. He'll get it to you. He can unblock that source, or he can just channel it a different way. No problem, but he'll never be late. The psalmist wrote, "Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." He'll never be late. He'll always take care of you. How many know he's a good daddy? He's a good father. I'm not going to, if I have like billions and billions of dollars and unfathomable food and angels and ravens and anything I want at my disposal to get it to my son or my daughter, do you think I'm going to sit there and watch them starve and suffer and not provide? Absolutely not. They're going to be taken care of first. God's a good father. So here's what I want. I want to shift a little bit. So I want to show you, just open your eyes to build faith. God is your provider and he can do it in tons of ways. Now, what we need to do right now is we need to start building our faith in God as our provider now. You don't wait until the catastrophe strikes to start building your faith. You start building it now, and when the catastrophe strikes, you're like, wait a minute. God's been my provider. When I was in this situation, he came through. When I was in that situation, he came through. When I was in this situation, he came through. This situation will be no different. The Lord will come through. Isn't that what happened with David when he faced Goliath? Yeah? This wasn't the first time David's facing Goliath. He's not like building up his faith that the Lord could help him beat an opponent that should crush him. This wasn't the first time. He'd been in smaller instances, a bear comes and is attacking his sheep, and he takes it on. Now, let me remind you, they didn't have semi-automatic rifles. The shepherds did not in those days. It's like he has a staff that he's fighting. Have you seen a bear? He's fighting a bear with the staff. I don't like those odds, to be honest with you, if it's me. I mean, I don't like the fact that when I go to things now, I can't carry a gun. They just give me like pepper spray for a bear. I'm like angry bear mom, and I'm standing accidentally between her and her cub, and I have a can of spray for her eyes. Are you kidding me? I want a big gun. That's what I'm thinking. But David, he's out there, and a bear attacks, and he doesn't just like, well, Lord, if you want those sheep to live, take care of that bear. I'm out of here. You know, but he's like, he goes after the bear. And he's thinking, the Lord's fighting for me. I'll win. And he does. And then a lion comes. Same thing happens. He's used to this. He's got a history. So then he gets in this crisis situation. The whole nation of Israel, the army, supposed to be brave, is trembling in fear. Goliath stands before them. He's facing a giant. And he says, I went out and I fought the sheep and the bear, and the Lord gave me victory. It'd be the same way with this giant. Why? He had a history. And the time to start building faith now is not when Revelation chapter, you know, the first seal is opened in Revelation chapter 6, if you know what that means, the first seal judgment. It's not when the shaking breaks in. I mean, if you start then, it's good to start if you haven't started yet. There's a saying, I like this saying. The best time to plant a fruit tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant one is today. Well, we need to build our faith in the Lord as our provider. And I just want to tell you real quickly how to do it. And let me just say this. There will be times when we will need to exercise faith to call in the provision of the Lord. There's times when it just shows up and he just miraculously provides. I love that. That happens a lot, honestly. I mean, stuff just happens. I'm like, oh, thanks, Lord. That was extra. I wasn't even thinking about that. That's cool because he's so extravagant. And he's just good that way. But there's other times where it's like we stand in faith. We call in the provision of the Lord that's marked for this moment and for this cause and for this season. And so we co-labor with him to bring in the miracle at times of provision. Let me give you 1 Kings chapter 18. You guys doing okay? Then Elijah, now remember, I just read to you the beginning of the story. Elijah went to Ahab, says, divine judgment, it's not going to rain except at my word. Well, years have gone by, and we're picking up the story in 1 Kings 18. Then Elijah said to Ahab, so he's talking to the king again, and because God had spoken to Elijah, I'm going to send some rain now. I'm going to break the drought. So Elijah said to Ahab, go and enjoy a good meal, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab prepared a feast, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and fell to the ground and prayed. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, but he returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." Seven times. Everybody say seven times. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look, and seven times he went. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea." I love this. Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. That was interesting. God speaks to you. Go to this king and say, "Over this nation, it will not rain except for at my word." And it actually happens. How many of you know? It's like, wow, there's some real authority working here. And then years later, the same God comes to you and he's like, "Okay, I'm going to send rain now." But you don't see any evidence at all of rain. It just looks like drought. But by faith, you go to the same king. "Oh, it worked last time." And you said it. It's going to rain. But there's no evidence of it. So what does Elijah do? He doesn't just kick back and do nothing. He prays in the rain that God said he was going to send. In this instance, we see there were times where God's providing for him. God says, "Go do this." He goes and does it, and it happens. But then there's times when we partner with God to call in the miracle. Why does God do that? I think he does it a lot of times because he wants to build our faith, and he wants to partner with us in the things he does. He really does. He works with people, especially in the earthly realm. He chooses, and many times he won't do things if he doesn't have a person to co-labor with him to do it. And so Elijah goes and he prays. Prayer number one, "God, send rain." "Is it raining?" "Nope, no rain." Prayer meeting number two, "God, let it rain." "No rain." Number three, number four, number five, number six, finally the seventh one. "Well, there's a little cloud. It could be something. I don't know." But remember, he had told Ahab, "I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." I mean, that little cloud, it's not looking so mighty, but I love it. As soon as he sees the cloud, he has that faith. He's like, "Okay, that's good. It's coming. You better hurry or else the rain's going to stop you. Roads are going to get muddy and you're going to get stuck." And it rained. A terrific rainstorm came as a direct result of his prayers. Now, many Christians, we hear stories like this, like about Elijah, and here's the mistake that we make. We think, well, of course God did those awesome miracles through Elijah. I mean, he was Elijah. He's awesome. He's a prophet. Or, of course he did that stuff through Jesus. I mean, he was the Son of God. He was so awesome. He was perfect. Of course he did miracles through Moses and brought the water out of the rock and all this, because he was Moses. I mean, he was Moses, you know, and on and on and on and on. And we just say, well, that's for others, but it's not for me. But what does the Bible say? James chapter 5, referring to this exact instance when he called in the rain, he says, "Elijah was as human as we are." Elijah wasn't this, I mean, he was special because he loved God and he did what God said. We're all special because we love God if we do what he, you know, we do what he says. But he was weak. He had times where he struggled with unbelief and it spiraled into depression. You know, Moses had times where he didn't do so hot. He didn't get to go into the promised land because of a big mistake he made. Yeah, these were humans just like us. God doesn't work through perfect people because there are none. Except Jesus. That was like probably the best season of Holy Spirit's work with human beings, I imagine. He's like, "Oh, finally, I got one who just always does what I says. This is going to be awesome. Watch this." You know, it's so good. But Elijah's human, just like we are. And then it says, and yet when he prayed, how? Earnestly, that no rain would fall, none fell for the next 3.5 years. Then he prayed for rain, and down it poured. The grass turned green, and the crops began to grow. We need to build faith now. And I'm just going to give you an action plan for doing that, and then I'll end with a story. A quick action plan for receiving miraculous provision. Here's how you can start building your faith now. Number one, develop your faith by obeying God in the giving of tithes and offerings. Is this on your sheet? Yes. Okay, good. I mean, you got to start there. Develop your faith by obeying God in the giving of tithes and offerings. Like, start now. Start today. That's how you do it. Your heart's trembling. You're full of fear. God's like, I love you. Don't worry. I'm going to catch you. Jump. And he's going to catch you. But obey him. Obey him. You know, the sad thing is when we disobey God, what we're saying is, I have more confidence in myself as my provider than I do in you. And that is going to be shaken. You're going to quickly come to the realization you can't provide for yourself, no matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how big your job is, no matter how rich your daddy is. It doesn't matter. You can't provide for yourself. It all comes from the Lord. And God's going to shake things to the point where we have to acknowledge that he's the source of everything, and we learn to trust in him. Number two, establish a plan to get out of debt. Establish a plan to get out of debt quick. You know, Autumn and I did this years ago, and there's grace for this. You know, it's like we had our school loans, things like that from when we went to college. We have our mortgage that we're still paying, and we're like, we're going to pay this off. And we made a plan to just start in our budget. We made a plan that you were going to give 10% to the Lord, and then we do our giving, and then we're like, we're going to give this much each time. We just set goals toward paying this thing off quicker than we need, than the deadline. We're going to pay off fast because God's going to help us. And you know what? God helped us. You know, we paid it off extra fast because God's blessing was there. But I really encourage you, whatever, get out of debt. Make it a priority in your life. Get out of debt. It's going to be super, super important. The borrower is slave to the lender. And when things start getting shaken in our economy, and the lenders start getting freaked out and they need their money, they're going to start calling it in. You guys with me? And you don't want to be a slave to the lender. You know, you want to be free from that. And here's the deal. The Lord expects you to pay that. Because your yes be yes and your no, no. If you made a commitment, you give me this money and I will pay it back at this rate by this time. God honors that. He'll hold you to that. Now, here's the good news. Even if you did something dumb, like, oh, that was stupid. I shouldn't have taken out that loan. That was dumb. I was acting in fear. I wasn't looking to the Lord as my provider. All you got to do is, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Would you help me pay this off? The Lord's like, yep, that's good. I'm going to hold you to it. It needs to get paid off, but I'm going to help you do it. And the Lord, he'll provide and he'll bless you. There's grace for you if you'll just turn to the Lord and repent. So get out of debt. Number three, practice wise stewardship of your money. Now, stewardship is just a fancy word for management. Manage your money according to the wisdom of the scriptures. And I'm just going to get a budget. Like, what that means is make a plan, a spending plan. It's so wise to do that. Yeah, I could preach on all this, but I'm not going to. Okay, exercise self-control. Exercise self-control and restraint with your money. Exercise self-control and restraint. You don't have to get everything you crave, right? So, you know, a lot of times God blesses us with stuff, but learn to practice self-control and restraint. Save money. These are biblical principles. Save money. A lot of times we don't save is because if we have it, we spend it. And the Lord's like, live with restraint and save. This is actually biblical instruction. Practice honesty and integrity in all financial and business dealings. I tell you what, I would rather be ripped off by a person. You know, like if I'm in a business deal or transaction and there's kind of, I'd rather me overpay and have the blessing of God on my life than me operating in a spirit of covetousness, ripping people off and being stingy and all that kind of stuff and not have the blessing. It's like, if I have the blessing of the Lord, I'm good. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Try anyway. I'm protected. My finances are protected. I'm blessed by the Lord if I have his blessing on me. So you want to be honest in all things. And then finally, call upon the Lord for miracles of provision right now. What do you need? What are needs in your family? Do you actually, it's, and I know you guys do, I'm preaching to the choir, a lot of you guys, but actually, when you face a financial need, a lot of families, we go about things the way of the world. We're like, ah, what can I do? And we start saying, who would the bank give me a loan? And we go to all our worldly options. Who would give me a loan? Who can lend me some money? Who can, and we start doing that. And we're like, well, before you do anything, stop, get your family together, call upon the Lord. Lord, we have this need. You already know this. We're just acknowledging it. Lord, we ask that you would provide. What is your wisdom? How are you going to provide for us in this need right now? Is there anything you want us to do to co-labor with you? Otherwise, we assume you got this thing. And if there's something you want me to do, let me know. I'll do it. But I'm not just going to go out and start trying to figure it out and do everything on my own. I'm coming to the Lord first and seeking his counsel. Does that make sense? And so start calling upon the Lord. You do that, you'll start seeing miracles. Do it with your kids. I mean, we went through a season where our paycheck from the church, this is back in 2009, we went through several months where we didn't have enough money at the church for our paycheck. And we'd get part of a paycheck or, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And that went on for months, but it was awesome. Seriously, it was so good. Because you remember our kids, we'd have a need. Like I remember one time they wanted to go to the movies. We're like, we don't have the extra money. We literally are living on our daily bread right now. And but we didn't hide it from the kids. We're like, let's pray together. Okay, we didn't put fear in them because we didn't feel fear. We're like, hey, God's going to provide. It's going to be fun. This is an adventure. Let's see how he does it this time. And we'd pray. And I remember one time, you know, I think it was Abby or somebody, there was a movie she wanted to go see, and we didn't have the money for the tickets. And Autumn said to her, she's like, well, let's pray together. If God provides money, I'll take you to the movie tonight. And we didn't know how it was going to provide it. So we prayed. Sure enough, during the day, there was like this old van that broke down that was trashed, and it was just sitting in our driveway, and we needed to get rid of it. And some guy just showed up at our house that day. He's like, hey, are you selling that van? I'd like to get rid of it. And he gave us some money for it, took it away, and we took her to the movies. It's good. You know, there'd be time, I remember, there's so many testimonies from that. I can't go into all of them. All I'm saying is do this with your family, because you know what happened during that season? God marked our children with faith. God's our provider. And they're both of them now. They're like, if they need something, they're just like, let's pray, guys. Lord, we pray that you would provide. And he does financial miracles all the time for them. And so it's not just our faith anymore. It's been transferred. And it's their faith now. And now they're set up for the rest of their life to give it to their kids. Amen. All right, last story. And then we're going to pray. I'm going to have Cecile come up and bless us. Never mind. I'm good. I'll just end. All right, let's pray. So how many of you are committing, you want to commit right now, you're going to follow the action plan for receiving miraculous provision, those four things. I'm going to tithe immediately and give offerings as the Lord leads me. I'm going to make a plan. You meet with your spouse, get a plan, let's get out of debt. And we're going to practice stewardship, biblical stewardship of your money, and then start calling upon the Lord for the miracles. For the financial provision. How many of you want to do that? Yeah? I want to bless you right now. So Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to have Cecile come up. She's going to speak a blessing over us right after this from the scriptures. So Father, we just pray for your blessing right now. We just commit in our hearts to obey you in the tithe, obey you in the offering. We look to you as our provider. So God, give us wisdom, wise counsel, Holy Spirit, about how we can honor you in all of our financial dealings. Help us to live in a spirit of generosity. Help us to trust in the Lord as our provider. God, give us grace to get out of debt. God, give us a plan. And as we practice that, I just pray that you would miraculously help us to get out of that debt paid off faster than we could do it by ourselves. Lord, we and build our faith to call upon you for financial miracles. Lord, and that you'll come through. Lord, I pray that every one of us, we would experience the joy of giving. I pray, God, that we would have wisdom for financial stewardship. Give us self-control to break bad habits, Lord, and to start good habits. Father, give us faith
Help our faith to grow as we experience your financial miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm going to have, if you want to just stand with me, and I've asked Cecile to just come up, and I want her to pray a blessing from Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to listen to this blessing that God spoke to this nation, to Israel. He says, if you obey God, I will, listen to these things. So much of it's protection, but it's also provision. And we're just going to receive it right now.
Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commandments I am giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in your towns and in the country. You will be blessed with many children and productive fields. You will be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. You will be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and with kneading bowls filled with bread. You will be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will bless everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he solemnly promised to do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you an abundance of good things in the land he swore to give your ancestors, many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens to bless all the work that you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commandments of the Lord your God and carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always have the upper hand. You must not turn away from any of the commands I am giving you today to follow after other gods or worship them. Yeah, thank you, God, for your word and for your commandments, God. We love your word, we love your commandments, and we know, we declare to you, God, that your commandments are not punishing or burdensome, but they are life and blessing. Amen.